give a few announcements to you. I know what you're thinking. Who are these people who are running our service today? Where do they come from? I've never seen them before in my life, and we're going to let you know. So this is the middle, or maybe two-thirds of the way through our regional outreach conference that we do for our Midwest region of churches here. And both Mike and Greg and I are coordinating the three different outreach teams. And we thought, wow, there's a lot of logistics we're managing. It'd be nice if we didn't have to run a Sunday morning service. So we asked our church in Eagle Creek, Community Church from Indianapolis, if they would do the service for us today. So thank you guys. How about a round of applause for them? So as normal, we gave them about 20 minutes notice on this and asked them, if I may be exaggerating slightly, but they agreed to do that. So they're doing the music today, and they're going to share some testimonies about their experience here and in their life and how God has changed their life. So we've had several outreach events. We did a teen outreach on Friday, and we did our kids camp. We rented the football stadium yesterday, and some people did some work around the church that really needed to be done, and some people helped some families in the neighborhood. I think they were out for probably 3 hours in some of the hot sun at least yesterday doing a variety of activities. So if you've seen a teenager or a young college student who looks a little faint, help them out. But thank you all for all your work. We have a barbecue later today at 1 o'clock if you can stay or want to invite some friends and neighbors. We're going to figure that out. Some of it will be outside. Some will be inside. And we'll be doing that. So if you can be praying for that, we're going to stop and pray. But thank you for all the work that has gone into that today. So I thought, you know, we make a lot of connections in these things. We met some people we never met before Friday, yesterday, and hopefully continues today. You don't know how God is going to use that in the future. And so God continues to plant seeds and causes things to grow. So I wanted to just pray for those things in the future. Why don't you bow your heads with me that God would bless these things. God, thank you that all we can really do is care for people in work, Lord, but you are the one who makes people's hearts grow. You make them open to you. We pray that you would make these things much bigger than what we could do. Thank you that you care about people. You want to show them who you are and how much you care and how much you have provided for them. So I pray that you would expand our boundary, expand our territory, and you would reach into their lives and they would see how much you care for them. I pray for the picnic today. I know it's going to be warm, but I pray people would feel comfortable coming and visiting and staying here and connecting with you. I pray that they would see the love and the care that you have for them through what we're doing. In your son's name, amen. So this is the time in our service where we take the offering. So our ushers are going to come forward and do that. This is a time where you can put God first and honor him with how he has blessed you financially. After that, our team from Indianapolis is going to come and just share some testimonies. Thank you.
Hello. Hi. Hello, hello. So yeah, my name's Jay again, from Indianapolis Group, a summer leadership training program. And so we've been, I think this is the end of our eighth week. We got 2 weeks left. Woohoo! So I just wanted to, we're going to have about six people come up. They're just going to come up one after the other and share their testimony. Share how the Lord has worked in their life, and maybe share a little bit about their experience from this weekend as well. But more than anything, I want to ask you guys, implore you guys, to be praying for us. You know, one of the temptations of LT is to get worn out. It's a lot. And also one of the temptations is to come off of it and be like, all right, I'm going to rest. And I'm just going to kind of take a moment. And so I just want to ask you guys to be praying for them as they've been equipped, God's been equipping them and teaching them this summer, that they would really run hard afterwards. And we're going to be starting up school soon thereafter and stuff. And so I'm really excited about this semester and to see what God has done, because he really blessed us last year. So, all right, Andrew, you're up. Oh, and guys, I was told, keep the mic to your mouth.
Hello, my name is Andrew. I'm from the east side of Indianapolis, and I did not grow up in a Christian home. My mother and father, they were never married. They split up when I was about 3 years old, and it was hard. I struggled with my identity a lot. I began to seek out acceptance and approval from others, and then things got worse in high school, and my friends started letting me down, stopped calling me, and I no longer enjoyed doing the things that I would do with them. And then I came to Christ. First time I heard the gospel was is my sophomore year of high school. My youth pastor, who had been going around the church for a while, he kind of took me under his wing and just spent a lot of time with me. And I noticed that he genuinely cared about me. And I wanted to know more and why he was like the way he was, because I didn't know too many people like him. And I wanted to be more like him. And then one day in his living room, I was like, I'm ready. How do I accept Jesus into my heart? And he was like, just pray right now and ask him. And I remember in his living room, I just prayed out to God. And I was just like, you can come into my heart, come into my life. And then, my life after Christ, I have a genuine love for people now, and my attitude has gone from extremely selfish to somewhat selfless. My perspective on life has changed. I see the endless opportunities that God has provided and that he can create. I live to bring glory to my Father in heaven, and I love seeing people's lives transformed. Even though my life isn't perfect, and Christ helps me deal with that. I want to leave you guys with a verse. It's Philippians 1:6. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
I'm going to go up here. Good morning. My name is Mo. I'm from Indy. I wanted to say before I started, I've shared my testimony before with people, but I've never shared my full testimony because I was kind of scared. I didn't have the courage. These past couple of months, God's been laying on my heart to share my full testimony, because he's been giving me the courage and the strength to do that lately. So my background, my dad was in the Air Force for 20 years. So that was 15 years of my life. So we were moving around constantly. We were going here to there, everywhere. So finding churches wasn't really our priority moving around. And my family really wasn't, my parents weren't really big churchgoers in the first place. But when I was, this is a lot louder. But when I was about 4 or 5 years old, I had family friends that were kind enough, and I was fortunate to go to church with them. And I loved it. I fell in love with the church, and I thought it was awesome. I think part of the reason was because they gave me candy in Sunday school. But I really enjoyed it, and I wanted to keep going, and I begged my parents to take me to church as much as they could. And I really learned from this church how great God is and what he can do in your life. And when I lived in New Jersey, I was saved when I was 8 or 9 years old. Romans 10:13 says, For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is what I was told to do when I was saved. And so for I don't know how long, but like every day, just to be sure that God knew that I wanted to believe in him. I just prayed to him every day, and I was like, I believe in you. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I just said it over and over again every day for the longest time because I just wanted to make sure that he knew. So that was September 28th, 2008. And I would pray to God about everything that worried me at the time and constantly prayed for my dad and his safety. In sixth grade, my life changed drastically when my dad was assigned to fight overseas for a year straight without coming home. Being in sixth grade, and I have a little brother, he was in second grade at the time, it's really hard to be without your dad for a whole year. So it really changed my family's dynamic. It made things really hard. And I have great parents, but it was just a really hard time for our family. And a lot of things happened out of anger, stress, and fear. I was worried about my dad constantly, and I wasn't sure if he would even come back. And when he finally did, things weren't the same as they used to be. Our family definitely changed. After this, I developed depression, and I felt really alone. And I didn't feel safe at home because there was a lot of pain there that I didn't feel like confronting, and I didn't have friends at school. With all this pain and uncertainty, I had to turn somewhere. So instead of turning to God, I turned toward like relationships with guys. And by the time I graduated high school, I had been in three relationships that were mildly abusive. And they left me hurting, scarred, and with a skewed perspective of love. I was very scared, and I wasn't sure what to do. Psalm 18, 16 through 19 says, "He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." So right before I graduated high school, I had a sudden change of heart to go to IUPUI, which is Indiana University, Purdue University in Indianapolis. It's the college there. And the IUPUI was at the bottom of my list, so it was kind of strange that I suddenly had a change of heart, like literally like a month before I graduated. And God brought me there to meet people, for me to meet people that would help me turn my life around and learn how to rely on God instead of other people and my own desires. So I came to IUPUI, and I found out that God led me to Eagle Creek's campus ministry. These people were very welcoming, open, genuine, and really cared about me, and it wasn't something that I had been used to for a while. So God truly blessed me with this and opened my eyes. Having a relationship with God was something that I was never really aware of. I wasn't really taught about that or heard about it. And that is where I feel like part of my issue was. And then coming to Eagle Creek, I learned how to have a relationship, and they showed me and they took the time to like help me learn and grow. So they showed me how to have a relationship with God and how to mature in my faith. And I can't express how much God has blessed me with these people. In just the short time that I've been in Indy, I've been really blessed. Because I used to feel very trapped and confined by others and how worthless they made me feel. But I found my identity in Christ and realized the importance of his sacrifice for our sins. John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." So I now have a good relationship with my family, and I feel restored in my faith. I'm still learning and growing a lot, but whenever I'm feeling lost or uncertain, I know I can turn to God and he will guide me. And I wanted to share, I read something this morning that kind of like related to this. It was in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." So thank you.
Bring my phone so I don't go over time. Okay. So for me, like whenever I was growing up in the church, it was like a Baptist church, and it like it's so like similar to this church. I was like, wow, it's like so incredible. So, like, for me, I grew up in a Baptist church. I always remember, like, the organ playing and, like, taking communion and all these things, singing hymns from the songbooks, and just really, like, not like, knowing what it was for. My family always dragged me to church, and, like, whenever my grandma passed away when I was in fifth grade, that was, like, a big thing for me because, like, I was really close to her, and it just didn't, like, make much sense why she, like, passed away and stuff. But then, like, you know, they were active in it, at least, until in middle school, you know, we kind of, like, fell away a little bit. We was just, like, not going to church. We wasn't, like, we was just living our own lives and just not worrying about the Bible, worrying about church, worrying about God anymore. And for me, it wasn't until, like, my junior year of high school when I started attending another Baptist church, which was called Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. It's close to my hometown of Rushville, Indiana, like 20 miles away. And my uncle invited me. It's like, hey, like, do you want to come here? It's like modern. There's like, I remember one of the songs was This Is Amazing Grace by Phil Wickman. And that's like the only thing I remember from that. And I'm just like, it's like, you know, just really cool. But that's when I realized, you know, like, even though I wasn't saved at the time, God was calling me back. Like, God was calling me back to his kingdom. And it's so interesting, too, because, like, this was a year after that. My senior year in high school, I ran track. I was an 800-meter distance runner. Wouldn't recommend that, by the way. It's really long. It's really painful, all the things you have to do to training. But, like, one day, there was a Gideon, like, passing out these New Testament Psalms and Proverbs on our high school campus. And then it's like, here, take one. I'm like, okay, I'll take one. You know, just put it in my cleat bag where all my my track cleats were, which are, I think I still have those around somewhere. Yeah, I don't know. But it was so interesting that, you know, I was given this, and then, like, there's this really buff dude that came into the locker room. He was, like, a 100-meter sprinter. He was, like, extremely intimidating to talk to, and, like, he had a select group of friends. And then, like, my friend Cody, he handed him a Bible, and, like, there's a locker room, like, 5 feet away from us. He just chucks this Bible, and you just hear bang, just hits the locker. And then the buff dude's like, why'd you do that? Like, why did you throw that Bible? And then, like, he said, like, he was an atheist. And I heard that, and I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I don't know what that means. Like, the only reason I heard of that was for this cartoon show where a character was atheist, and they said they didn't believe in God. And I'm just like, is that what I am? It's like, I mean, I'm just kind of confused in this. So then, like, after that, you know, like, I'm jogging with a friend the next day, and it's like, oh, hey, like, Cody told me he was, like, an atheist or something. And then he says, I'm an atheist, too. And I remember jogging and then just coming to a complete stop. Like, I didn't move for, like, a solid 5 minutes. I was like, where is my life at? Where is my life going? So then I realized that God called me to IUPUI. I met somebody from the Jag Blast, which is a freshman orientation where there's a bunch of student organization tables out. And then I met the Rock at IUPUI. And, like, and then I started going to the meetings. Like, great, I'm getting back with God, right? Well, not quite. So around that same time, a couple Mormon missionaries approached me. They said, hey, do you want to join a Bible study? Not knowing what this means, I just wanted to get close with God, right? I just want God. I want God. And then in my heart, I was like, God. And it's like, I joined them. And I remember, like, the first meeting, there was like, oh, hey, Jerry, we have this extra book called The Book of Mormon. You should read it. And then I remember reading this book called Nephi, where this guy, like, flees away. Similar to, like, when Joseph and Mary flee to Egypt after Herod, like, commands, like, all two-year-olds underneath, you know, two-year-old boys be killed to find Jesus. Like, it's similar to that. And I remember, like, okay, this sounds similar, you know, like, them showing their teachings to me. But then I am so thankful for my campus ministry leader, Jay, who showed me a 20-minute video that denounced the whole entire thing. And without that, I probably wouldn't be here. I would probably wear name tags, white and black pants. And I take that seriously. And that's, like, been so, like, it's so cool that even two after that, on September 27, 2017, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I got baptized 3 weeks later. And ever since, like, God's been growing me to disciple people. And even, too, on October, all right, okay, all right, continue. I promise I'm getting close to the end. So even, too, like, I always think of Romans 10, 14 through, like, 15, where it says, like, how are they to believe in, no, call on him of whom they have not believed and how are they to believe in him, like, without hearing the good news, and those who preach the good news are beautiful feet. And I was like, I was really getting called to a coworker named Harold. And then next thing you know, I pour into him, and on October 24, 2018, he accepts Christ. And him saying that to me, like, I want Christ, it was like, it was just so incredible. And to be honest, guys, I take his salvation over my own. That's how much I love this brother in Christ to me. And that's been so encouraging that, like, he's, like, part of my testimony as well. So, you know, I have a God, I just thank him every day for what he's grown me into and how I can just love people now. I can give them life. You know, I can't give them life, Christ can. But I can show them life. And that's just been so, so encouraging. So, thank you. Thank you.
So, I haven't grown up in a Christian household at all. I didn't grow up going to church. My mother was an only child who, from what I understand, didn't have any religious background. And my father was child 10 of 11 who only went to church because his mom made him. And I believe it was Catholic church. So I didn't grow up going to anything. My parents wanted all of me and my brothers to be kind of whatever we wanted. So I didn't grow up having any background. Going into elementary school, I was bullied a lot from day one until essentially the day I left, which allowed me, kind of gave me a lot of anger problems. I was a pretty troubled kid in elementary school. I would be in the principal's office every day, and there was one day where they had to evacuate the classroom because I went on a rampage. But then in middle school, the bullying kind of stopped in a more physical and verbal sense, but it turned more into an isolation where I was by myself a lot, and I didn't really hang out with anybody, still didn't have any friends. And going through middle school, the anger kind of slipped away, but it was more turning into a depression. And in eighth grade, going into high school, was probably when the depression fully set in. And going into high school, I was suicidal because I didn't think anybody had liked me. I didn't think anybody cared about me, except for really my parents. But I thought, they're your parents. They're supposed to like you. So, I go into high school. I join the cross country and track team, which is a temporary happiness because I finally felt like I kind of fit in, but it was still only for that short temporary time. I go into my junior year and I start hanging out with my older brother a lot, and he is a partier. We hung out on the 4th of July that year, and that was the first time I ever got drunk. And I passed out in my mom's van. And a month later, I ran into a group of people playing Frisbee, which turned out to be the people that I now go to church with. But I didn't know that at the time, so I just played with them, and then I left. And then eventually one of them invited me to their house church. And I was like, sure, these people seem cool. Let's go hang out with them. So I hung out with them. Started hanging out with this one group of guys, and I just kind of started staying at their house until I became a roommate. And then I somehow ended up at a conference called Faith Walkers. And I remember, I think it was the second night, the last teaching, the worship, we were all sitting there in the rows, and they were singing the songs, and I just remember thinking, there are so many people here that I feel genuinely like me, genuinely care for me. And it was just a new feeling inside of me. I didn't know how to really describe it. But it was at that moment where I'm just like, this is what I want. So that's when I decided to give my life to Christ. I didn't really tell anybody. I just kind of did it. And then there was the teaching, and then I went to bed on it, woke up and asked one of the leaders how to read a Bible, because I thought you just read it like a normal book, which turns out would have been a not great idea for a first-time reader. But so then I just kept, we came back, and I kept living with the guys that I lived with. Most of them are moved out or married, but the lessons I've learned from them were monumental in shaping who I am now and have led me to gone to many conferences like this one, LT, and coming here today.
Hello, everybody. My name is Michaela, and I'm from Janesville. So I did not grow up in a Christian home at all. My parents split up when I was younger. They got divorced. And so my life has always been full of lots of drama. Always. Now that Christ is in my life, I know that God loves me and he's actually with me. And he's with me even though when I worry about things and I know that Jesus is there and I may not say he is, but I know he is. He's watching over me every minute I do anything. So growing up, I had a difficult life. My mom and dad were not together, and my mom was on severe drugs. I couldn't always live at home. I was always moving around, and sometimes I ran away. I did not like where I was. I was constantly moving from house to house and in foster care. I was often in trouble with the police, and I never went to juvenile or jail. But my life orbited around some not very nice people, and I thought they were at the time. I felt I needed them, but they were not my true friends or a good influence on me, and I was ignoring the one that did love me and still loves me to this day. I was not taking Christ seriously when I should have. And the first time I encountered real Christianity was when I was 17 years old. I am now 24. My mom took me to a church, and right away I knew I was not perfect. I am very sinful. And so I knew I needed a Savior to confess my sins. So I prayed and asked God to forgive me. I had told Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. And then later when I came to Foundation Bible Church, my hometown church in Janesville, Wisconsin, it made a big difference in my life. God is helping me get my life in order, and I'm learning to spread the word of God and invite people to church. My life now has changed so much, and I am far from perfect, and sometimes I am disappointed in myself. I have actually come so far. My attitude is better, and my hope is more secure. I have more faith in Jesus now than I have ever had. God has really blessed me more than I have deserved, and I have been given a true family that I don't want to run away from. And I also want to thank my LT team for keeping me strong this summer.
Good morning. My name is Adela. I was actually born in El Salvador. My parents left when I was around 6 months. They moved to the U.S., so I had the opportunity to be raised by my grandfather and my grandmother. My grandfather was a pastor in a very small, humble church in El Salvador, but I had a solid foundation when I was with them. I had never seen somebody have so much faith in something that he had never seen or in somebody that he had never physically seen. But there were days that we didn't even know how we were going to eat yet he always said, didn't fit, have faith. Somehow, God provided. There was never a day that we missed, like, a meal or anything. It was amazing to see how much he trusted in God, how much he was willing to give up everything that he had to help others in the name of God, to show others how much he believed and how much he trusted in God. He was the type of person that would give you the shirt off his back to show you this is what Christ would do for you. Around the age of 5, I finally got the chance to see my parents, or how I say, to meet my parents again. They decided to bring me and my siblings to the U.S., and that foundation I had completely was nowhere to be seen anymore. I still held the same foundation, or like the same teachings my grandfather showed me, but Romans 1:32 can kind of describe how my life went after that. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them. My parents are hardworking. I love them to death, but they never went to church, and they did. It was just like Easter, Christmas, the typical. It was never like something that we wanted to do. So I got away from it, and my parents have always held me to a higher standard than my siblings. So I always felt like I had to prove everything to them. I had good grades in school. I did everything correctly, yet it always seemed like it was never enough. So I came to that point around when I was like 16 where I was just like, you know what? It's fine. I'm never going to be good enough for them. So I started doing what I wanted to do or what my friends wanted me to do. I started going out. I didn't show up at home sometimes. And then I basically just used people to my advantage. It was like either I'm going to make it and you're going to get out of my way, or I'm going to use you to make it. It was at a time where, like, me and my mom's relationship was completely to the point where I was ready to have no do with her. Like, I did not want to talk to her. I wanted nothing to do with her. And for some reason, I got the opportunity to go to one of the meetings at The Rock. Mind you, I don't go to IUPUI, but God put people in my life that do. And I went. It was kind of weird to see so many people my age, like, wanting to follow Christ and actually practicing what they teach. So I kind of started taking it as myself. Like, I started reading the Bible, but it was more like, eh, I don't want to do this. So around late December, early January, I got the opportunity to go to Winter Jam in Indiana. And for the first time, I heard Newsboys or something like that. I think that's what it's called. But that song, like, We Believe, that song really stuck with me. So around, like, mid-January, I basically told my mom that I was never going to go back to her house, that I was not going to talk to her, that I want nothing to do with them, that if something happened to them, don't call me because I'm not going to go. So for some reason, that song came on the radio. And it just kept repeating itself and repeating itself. And I was already at a time where I was making changes to myself. Like, I had really bad anger problems, and I gave all of that to Christ. And I'm like, you know, help me change, or show me how I can change. And slowly but surely, all of that started changing. And then that day, I was just, like, driving back home, and that song came on. And all I could think about is, like, what if something happens to my mom, and this is the last thing I said to her? And that day I decided, I'm ready. I was like, this is the next step that I need to take. So I texted Abby. I'm like, Abby, I'm ready. I was like, I want to give my life to Christ. I was like, I want to get baptized. And and I was at work too. So, like, she's like, oh, let's do it today. Let's do it right now. So I'm like, eh, I don't think so. Not yet. But my life after that has changed drastically. Like, I never thought my mom could change. I never thought her attitude could change. But it's been a constant prayer of mine for God to soften her heart, for her to change and be able to enjoy the simple things in life. Her birthday just passed. Every year, I have to spend a lot of money on her presents so she can like it. But this year, I didn't want to. So I bought her a simple bouquet of roses, and I sent it to her. In my mind, I'm like, she's not going to like them. She's just going to probably call me and be like, why did you buy me this? Why didn't you give me something more expensive? Like, around 3:30 that day, she calls me crying. She's like, thank you. These are so beautiful. And it was that that showed me if God can change somebody that was really, like, determined to never, ever appreciate the little things in life, he can do anything. And about 2 years, next month, my grandfather passed away. I never cried. I never really mourned his death, and I never understood why. But now it's like I know that even though I knew he was gone physically, God was preparing me to bring me back into his life and be able to meet up with him once I'm called home. So now I'm looking forward to everything coming in my life. So let's see what's happening next.
Hello. There we go. Yeah, why don't everybody stand? We'll sing our next song.